Hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor who doubles as an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Email Marketing Experiment. And today I have with me Comfort Essien in the house. We're going to be looking at an email marketing experiment she did that led to a 5x list growth increase and unexpected sales. Now, when you say unexpected sales, I know some of you may be wondering, like, aren't you supposed to be expecting sales? Well, you're going to see just how this experiment happened and why the sales was definitely unexpected. Comfort is an email marketing expert. And she has been undergoing some pivots. And so you'll get to meet her shortly. Welcome to this podcast, Comfort. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, Safaya. My name is Comfort. A lot of people know me online as the copy babe. So yeah, I am an email marketer, but currently going from just being an email marketer to being like a full stack marketing person that does both funnels, ads, emails, and the whole bunch. So yeah. Hi, it's good to be here.
That's amazing. Upskilling to be able to offer more to people is definitely good. So yeah. Let's talk about your journey in email marketing a bit. Right? Tell us a bit about your journey in email marketing. Why did you even decide, email marketing in the first place?
I remember I didn't start as an email marketer. I started as a copywriter. I think a lot of us start as copywriters. I don't know, but that's what I feel. I started as a copywriter and then I moved into email marketing. And even when I moved into email marketing, I used to do mostly email copywriting until I went into the full email marketing where I do strategy, the copywriting aspect, the automations and everything, the tech part of it, everything that has to do with it. So I've been doing this for like the past 3 years now. Yeah, going to 4 years. It's been an interesting journey so far and I've learned a lot and currently still learning. But it's been an amazing and interesting journey.
Yeah, and I've seen a part of your journey, so I've definitely seen the growth as well. All right, so before we dive more into email talk, let's do a bit of an icebreaker. If you were to travel to one place in the world, where would it be and why? So let's say you had a ticket to travel to anywhere you wanted in the world, where would it be and why?
On the spot?
Yeah.
And how long am I going to stay there?
Let's say a week.
Okay, I think I'll go to Brazil, or I have two places I like to go, like on the spot. Either if whichever one is given to me, I'll go to either Brazil or I'll go to Singapore. I've always wanted to go to Singapore. It's been on my bucket list for the longest time. Brazil is a new love for me, but Singapore has always been like that love that I've always had, that if I'm going to travel today and I'm giving a ticket, a one-way ticket, I'll just go to Singapore.
Oh, wow, one-way ticket.
I just go to Singapore.
Culture.
I was influenced by a movie, and since then, I have not stopped wishing or wanting to go to Singapore.
I get that. That's interesting to me. So now let's talk email. We're going to be starting with what we call open rate confession. This is where you tell us your biggest email marketing mistake, something you did that made you cringe, or something that's supposed to stay behind closed doors, but we're going to be moving it today. So what would that be for you?
I remember when I first started email marketing. You know how you are trying to personalize and put the subscribers first team and all that?
Yeah.
In the subject line. So it reads with the person's subject line. So the person is like, "Hi, Safaya. Hi, Comfort." And when I first started, I wrote it and it went out as, "Hi, first name." I did not know until until somebody replied and said that, oh, first name, what do you mean by first name? And I was on a whim, I realized that, oh my God, my personalization, I'd not used the right personalization because I always have my emails written out first in Google Doc. Then I'd copied it like that from Google Doc, loaded it into the email service platform without editing and using the snippets. I didn't use that
exact merge tag.
I didn't use the merge tag. And so it just came like that. And I was like, I don't ever make that mistake again, because I felt so cringe. I was like, oh my God, what is this? Everyone would know that I'm a beginner. Oh, what is this now? What kind of nonsense? I kept berating myself for the longest time. But yeah, I guess that's one of the things that we learn as beginner. That's like my biggest cringe so far.
I think like every email marketer has made that mistake. In short, if you haven't made that mistake, are you really an email marketer? I received two people who sent me two emails. So the first one had the something something and then the first name, like the F name or whatever the code is supposed to be, but not complete. Mm-hmm. And then they sent a second one saying, oops, I'm sure you saw our email marketing blunder, yada, yada, and then sent it again. And I'm like, okay. I mean, two different brands anyways, but just spotting that. And I think it's something that we'll still see in the future, but can definitely be averted.
Yes.
I have made that mistake. Yes. But if I make it now, no, it'll be disastrous.
I don't think you can even make it now. Like, it's just one of those things you just do. Now, it comes natural. See, like, I can't use, even if you didn't put it there that you're going to use the person's name when you're doing your draft, once you are loading the email to the ESP to send out, you're definitely going to look at that mention that, like, okay, this is it. It's like a check. An untold checklist that I make in my head. I don't need to think too much about it before doing it. It just comes natural now. Like, it's just a normal thing for you to check. I don't think anybody that has been doing email for like 2 years, 3 years would make that mistake anymore.
Love it, love it. So now let's go into this experiment that you did, you know, that led to 5 times less growth and unexpected sales. So give us a bit of, you know, backstory, a bit of context of where, you know, you guys were coming from and what it is you wanted to achieve before we go into what it is you did.
Okay, so first of all, I'll just give a backstory about the client. When the client came to me, he was like, he wants to grow his email list. And I was like, okay, no problem. And one thing about me is when a client comes to me and they are telling me their problem, I'm here thinking of all the strategies that you're going to use based on your goal. So I'd given him the strategies to use to do it. And he was like, okay, how much would you charge me to do this? And I told him my price. And he was like, okay, I'm just starting out. I can't afford you right now, but I'm so grateful for the strategies that you've given to me. I'm going to implement it and see how it goes. So I was like, okay, no problem. Go ahead. And he left. And I think 4 months later, he sent me a message that, hi, I'm ready to work with you now. You mentioned some of the things you told me and it's actually working. So I was like, oh, okay, cool, no problem. And I told him, this is my new price. He was like, no problem, I'll do it. So we started working. However, because he's in the web development niche, it was a bit hard for me to understand certain things that he was doing, because, you know, with web development, it comes with a lot of new jargon and vocabulary that you need to really, really study to understand what they mean. So, fortunately, that period, when we started working, it was close to Black Friday. I'd worked with him for a month, and then the following month was going to be Black Friday. Prior to this, I'd asked him about the lead magnets he uses to get conversions into his email list. And he was like, he has like a link on his YouTube videos that brings in people into the email list. And he was telling me that there's a particular video he did, and that video is one that has brought him the most people into his list. So I was like, okay, no problem. Let me look at the lead magnet. Let me see what is there. And when I saw it, I was like, okay, you're actually getting a lot of traffic, because it was connected to Zapier. So I could see the traffic. I'm like, you're getting a lot of traffic, but people are dropping off at a certain point. There are lots of people that are not coming in because of the way you automated this process. So it was like, okay, what can I do? I said, first of all, we can do two things. We can get two types of people to come into your email list. They are still very good leads because your this video, he said, according to him, the video didn't take him long. In fact, it was one of the easiest videos he had done because it was one of the most easiest thing for him to do, even if you just wake him up from sleep. So it didn't take him time to create the video. He didn't even know the video was going to do well. So he had just posted the video and the video had been bringing him so much traffic. The good thing was he had already attached a link to get people into his email list. So the link takes them to his website. From his website, they need to scroll down to a certain point before they will see a link to get into his email. And from his website, there's something called a code snippet that they need to copy and put it on their website because he's a Shopify web developer. So he had like a snippet that helps people do certain things on their Shopify website. So when you get to the website, once you click on the link, you can copy the snippets even before you get into his email list. So it's the few ones that still scroll down that now get to click and join his email list. You see how he was dropping proof. So people were getting the snippets, but for free. He wasn't getting those people into his email list. They were dropping off.
Oh, I see.
So I now told him that people are getting this thing because there is so much. This video had a lot of comments under it. People were telling me, thank you, I got the snippet, it worked and all that. I'm like, okay. But all these people are not compared to the number of people that are supposed to be on your email list right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to take them into the list and then send the snippets as an email to them. You get, or to another thing is send this website. Since his goal was to get the people to get to his website. That was what he was just thinking about. Let them get to my website. Did you get? So I was like, okay, but right now we're trying to build your email list. So let's get these people from getting to your website, but also let them enter into your email list first. And then we'll get the link to send them to the website and they copy the snippet from there. So I was like, okay, cool, let's do that. And that's what we did. So that was the first thing we did. And then we started getting a lot of people coming into his list. We started with just 200 people. When I started with him, it was like 200 people. By the end of that month, we had almost 400 people on the list.
So you doubled it.
So we doubled the list.
Love it.
Then, not just that, then it was toward Black Friday. I was like, okay, since people are loving these snippets that you are giving to them for free, is there a way for you to create a higher version of it? And then we can do like a Black Friday and just... I know you're not, your goal right now is not the next sale, but then this is a hot product right now. So why don't we get something from it, even if it's just a little? So he was like, okay, I know I could do something. And I was like, okay, how much is this thing that you want to do? How much does it cost outside? And he was like, people charge $30 to $50 for it. I said, okay, let's price it at $20. So he was like, okay, cool, because it's not even going to cost me anything to create. I said, okay, beautiful. That's what we're going to do. So the thing was, when you now come in through that free link that gives you the first code snippets, you get an email after that to get the paid version, a higher version of it. And the higher version was even better because it was towards Black Friday. And you know how everybody that owns like a Shopify website is trying to do Black Friday sales. So what the link does is to help them get faster speed on their website. And it gives them drop down buttons that a customer, when they go to their website, they'll be able to have like different drop downs that takes them to different products without having to go 1, 2, 3. There's a way it works, Sha. People that do web, this thing can better explain it. I just told him that, just give me the most easiest English that this thing can do. And I was like, when we're doing it, the truth is, when we're doing it that time, I wasn't using ChatGPT as I use it now. So I didn't even know that, okay, let me go and use ChatGPT and explain this thing to me. Do you get? So I just had to ask him, explain this thing to me as if I'm a 5-year-old. Because that's the same way I'm going to write this email to make these people understand. Because most of them were just business owners that were not very conversant with how the backend of the website worked. But then they were following his videos and they just, you know, people that want to do it on their own. So we did that. And trust me, we had just 2 days to sell. was it 2 days? No, it wasn't 2 days. We had to create the theme because Black Friday was about to end. So we created it in 2 days. It created the sent it. I created the landing page for it and the emails to go with it. Updated its original welcome sequence to also contain that snippet. And we made $300 in sales in that week.
And this is for somebody who was not ready to make money from
it. It was not his goal to make money at all. He just wanted to get people to come on his list. That was his goal. So I was like, okay, since we are doing this, and the goal for me working for you is to help you to make sales via your email list. It's not just to be sending emails, right? So we already have a pipeline to get people into your list. Now we need to create a pipeline to get people to buy your services. So that was how we were able to make sales during that Black Friday. And subsequently, that was like one of the products we created before the contract finished. And then we went out different ways. But yeah, that was an interesting one because personally, I did not know I was even going to be able to sell that product. Because I didn't understand all the jargons that came with web development. I had to go and start Googling, what is a snippet? What's a code snippet? What does this one do? Like going to different websites to understand what it meant so I could explain it in a way that would be able to get us to make a sale. He was amazed. I was amazed. But I wasn't so amazed because it's something that I've been doing. I was just like, it was an experiment for me. Like, let me do this thing. Like, let's see if it will work. Let's do this thing. Like, let's see if it will work. It was just like an experiment. And then it worked. So it was interesting. And it made me happy that I was able to help him get that such result in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, because your timelines were pretty short. But yeah. You see what I know about this is the fact that, some people feel like they just come in and you pay them for the work that you said you wanted them to do. But when people are intuitive enough to identify loopholes, identify problems, and be like, okay, yes, I know that this is what you want, but let's try this. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's just test it out, you know? And then they are able to wow their clients, wow mm-hmm. the email link owner. I think that's just next level.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I really love about this. So I want us to dive into your process. So, you know that the first thing you did that really stood out was the fact that you identified the gap. So you noticed that people were getting the code snippet, but they were dropping off, right? So how did you even identify that in the first place? And then if somebody is doing like an audit of an email marketing system, right? Let's say they have their own email list, or maybe now that they've listened to you, they want to try out something, you know, how would you advise them to identify the gap in the first place?
Okay. So first thing I did was I asked him, where do you get the most people from? And that was when he told me about that particular YouTube video. I know that he has a YouTube account and he creates videos for YouTube. So people were coming there. And some people were coming through normal SEO, people that get to his website. So, well, I asked, because as at the time we started working, that was his only lead magnet from YouTube to his website and then to his email list. YouTube, website, email list. I looked at it that if from YouTube, you're going to the website directly and you're already getting the thing that you came for, if I'm the one, there won't be need for me to go to your email list again. Because I've already gotten the thing I'm looking for. So why should I go to your email list?
There was like a direct download on the website.
Yes. When you get to that particular page on his website, you just copy whatever he's giving you. You can just copy it. It's a snippet. It's a code snippet. You just copy it and that's it. You've gone. So I looked at it that if I'm already getting the value that I came for, why would I come to your email list again? It has to be somebody that is very curious and somebody that really, really likes you that would extend to your email list. Did you get? So I looked at it that, no, we can't do this. These people might not convert now. They might convert later. If your goal is to give something for free and you want them to get to your website, beautiful. Let them come to the website, but not directly getting this code snippet that you're giving to them. So that was how I was first able to get the gap. Identifying that if the clients or your subscribers are already getting the value that you're giving to them without you bringing them into your personal land, your property, which is your email list, they're going to go away. And your goal is to keep them, to sell to them later or even immediately, as the case may be. So if they're already getting that thing already, why will I go to your email list? I mean, a lot of people don't even want to give you their emails. So if you're already giving them what they want before getting to your email list, there's no need. They won't come in. That was how I was able to identify that gap. And
I think the most important question that you asked here before you made the content gated was, where do the most people
come from? Yes.
Because, I mean, some people don't know where their most subscribers come from. And imagine that it was just a YouTube video. It's not like he created, maybe let's put it this way. He had a lead magnet, but his traffic, right? So a lot of people think about the lead magnet, but they don't think about the traffic source.
Yeah.
So, like, I created this here and just expect people to sign up. But where do the most people come from? Right? And that's such a powerful question then. So please go ahead.
Yes. So when we were able to get that these people are coming from this particular video, and we now mitigated. We didn't give it to them for free anymore. It became better. Not only that, we also did something. We took that particular lead magnet and added it to every other video.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So, because I told him that if somebody comes to you, a lot of people check the description. So, let's just put it there. They might not come for this particular thing in this video that you're watching, because it might not even be concerning. It might not even be about it. But having a list of other things that you offer in your description might still bring somebody there. The person is like, oh, okay. Oh, I need this thing. No, I didn't even know this guy has it. Maybe click. So let's put it there. Because he had like a couple of affiliate stuff that he promotes. But those ones were not really getting him the kind of people that he wanted. So I'm like, okay, add it there. You are already adding your affiliate links. Add this one again. So I might come to your YouTube channel and I'm watching a different video. But I come to your description and I see this thing and it's something that I'm interested in. But I didn't see a video about it. I'm going to still click. So that was how we were able to add it. We added it to almost every other video and subsequent videos that he kept creating. He kept adding that particular lead magnet. Because I just looked at it that you're a web developer. This is something that people are interested in. You develop apps for Shopify. People need this thing. If it was not a need, it would not have this much traffic. And that was how we were able to get more people to sign up using it.
I love it. That's some serious optimization right there, right? It's working. Yeah. Let's double down on it. Now, I want to go into your funnel now. So people sign up. I want you to walk us through the process in terms of the kind of emails you were sending for the sequence after, you know, they signed up for the lead magnet.
Yeah.
And so we'd like us to break down a bit of what you did for the Black Friday campaign. But let's start with the supposed sign up. When they signed up, you know, what kind of emails were they receiving?
Okay. So I did two things. First of all, I had to optimize this old welcome sequence to include this, because his welcome sequence had a different opt-in page, different from this lead magnet. So I had to update it to include this. For this particular one, the email sequence that I created for it wasn't even much. It was just about three or four. Yeah, I think it was three. It wasn't much. It was three emails. The email containing the free lead magnets, because, you know, it was just a week to promote that paid one. Yeah. Was just a week that we had for that paid one. And he had told me that after the Black Friday sale, it's not really something that people look out for like that. So I didn't create something extravagant for it to get. So after they come in and they get the free one, automatically they get another email after they've gotten the first one. Immediately, they get the free snippet. Then the next day, they got another email telling them that, oh, that one that you got is small. This one that I have is an advanced one. And this is what it can do for you. It has more cool features. Can do this, can do this, can do this. And because it's Black Friday, you are getting it at this price instead of this price.
Okay, okay. So this was the optimization you did after like they had started coming in and then you were preparing for Black Friday.
Exactly. So that was like the second email that they got. And then the third email was, you clicked or you clicked on it, you checked it out, but you didn't get it. What happened?
Ah, nice one. I always love a follow-up email.
Yeah. So what happened? So then that's like that the content of that email. And then the last one was to drive FOMO. Oh, this thing is going to expire in a couple of days. And if you don't get it now, you might not be able to get it at this price again. Plus, you really do need this now due to lots of people that are coming on your website. You're running your own sales and you don't need people to drop off because they can't do these things on your websites. So I was really like really driving in for the sale for the last email. And I think more people even got it in the second and in the third email than the second email.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I love that you have all these stats. So it wasn't really the FOMO that was driving the sales. Said the second email, that's the one that said there's this advanced.
Yeah. That was like the last email.
That's
it was
powerful.
Just three emails. I didn't do so much because I was like, you know, like I said, it was just an experiment. It wasn't something like we're trying to even make money off. But Claire was like, okay, let's see if it works. I don't know anybody that's going to buy this. That was his idea. Was like, I don't know anybody that's going to buy this. I was like, don't worry. We're going to sell it. So,
and I know that the amount might sound small for some people, but I want to do the math because the product was
$20. Wasn't much.
And you did $300. So that means that we had about 15 people.
He did expect. He was like, oh, okay. I didn't know we're gonna do that. It wasn't much, but it was.
That's a validation right there.
So when we did this, so what happened was when we did this, it made him now more confident. Now offer better services because he had been on the bench for like, okay, what kind of services am I offering? I'd given him a couple of ideas, but it was like, okay, this one would require a bit more attention and all that. But after that time, he now came up with a group of services he can offer for like an offer. Yeah, he created an offer for himself. And then we started promoting that offer. Although it didn't really do well, the offer didn't really do well, right? But the fact that we were able to sell this particular one prompted him to do that. Okay, I can make sales from my email list. It's not just that, you know. I'm not just doing this thing. Money can come out from my list. And it's that confidence boost that made me really happy. Because as when he came, he was like, he told me, I'm just sending emails. I don't know if they're even reading it. I don't know if they're taking actions. I don't know. So that's why I'm coming back to you. Because the strategies you gave me to grow the list before, I started using and I saw results. So maybe you can do something again for me. And that was it.
Love it. And now I see why you're thinking of, you know, pivoting to full stack, because you literally did email marketing, did some business marketing in terms of offer creation, optimization. I said business marketing, business strategy as well.
Yeah,
It was like the whole thing. I mean, I always loved it when email marketers, right? Because now we're coming at it from the service provider point of view. So I love it when email marketers actually go above and beyond, and when they actually identify loopholes and point it out and say, I see this, here's what I think you can do. It goes to show the business owner that beyond the money that you paid, we actually care about your growth. We are actually interested in your results. And I'm just pointing it out. I think it's like the coach in me pointing it out, because it's something that I try to, you know, instilling people that I teach and I coach, that yes, you want to make money, but beyond that, what is your goal for the person whose list you're managing? for you is to help that person monetize the list beyond every other thing else. So they may say, oh, this is what I want, this is what I want. And they are happy with you just giving them what they want. But going that extra to achieve something else, you know, I think that it's the kind of things we want to see out there. And I'm really glad that we got to talk about this. So now let's, you know, look at, now that you've done this, are there things you would have done differently in retrospect? If you were to do this again, are there things that you would maybe do differently?
Yes. I think what would I have done differently is to make that thing that we did for just Black Friday become like a product that is continuing to sell after Black Friday. That's like what I would have done differently. Instead of it to just be like a one-time thing, one-time offer, it would have been like something that keeps selling because it was a hot product. I just feel like, but you know, when you're working with clients as well, you also have to consider what they also want for their business and all that. For him, he was like, it's not something he wants to continue doing. However, because the product sold, I would have been able to find a way to convince him that, okay, we're not making this like a higher product. Let's just put it as something that is there. You can always buy. If you get the free one and you want to get an upgraded one, let's add it to the sequence and it's there. It's not going to do it just on like a passive income thing. That's like the thing I would have done different.
Nice. I actually agree. But then again, it also boils down to what the client really wants. Because I mean, we can make suggestions, we can show that they work. But if the person isn't fully on board, you know, we don't want to force them. I usually tell people, like, I can take a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. So you show them the water and all of that, but it's their decision, their call to make. So true. Were there any unexpected challenges you had while doing this? Or was it all smooth sailing?
No, it wasn't all smooth sailing because, for example, like I said, this was the first time I was working with somebody that technical. Even though he was a coach, but it was in a niche that was a bit technical. I don't like to go close to anything that is code. Even the tech aspect of the email marketing, once I've seen code like this, I don't want to mess up with anything. So it took a lot of learning. I had to watch his videos over and over and over and over again to be able to understand. Watch other people's videos regarding it. Read a lot about it. So it's like because I needed to put it in a way that would be easy for. Because these people that were on the email list, they were not developers. They were business owners.
I see.
You get it. They were business owners who had Shopify stores. And they were business owners that were doing it on their own. So those were like his target audience. And he was speaking to, so those kind of people were the people there. And I looked at it that if I'm talking to business owners that are almost like me, that don't really understand all the jargons that come with web development, I have to be able to break it down in a way that they would understand what this thing can do for them and actually key into it. That was like my major challenge. But then we give God the glory at the end of the day.
Yep, it was everything successful. I love it. So let's look a bit into the opt-in pages setup, right? Or did you make any? Let me start by asking. You know, you said that they were already going there, right? So you didn't really touch anything in terms of landing page opt-in. It was just like post sign-up process, yeah?
No, I did. You know, before, what he had was when you click on the link from the YouTube video, you go to the website. And then from the website, after you get the snippet, you now, if you continue scrolling, you see a place for you to sign up to his email list. So I had to create a landing page that told them about, oh, click here and I'll put your email address and this now and go to the website to get the snippet. Are you getting it? So yeah. I had to create that opt-in page. So the opt-in was just very simple, nothing technical or serious. It was just tell the people that, okay, this is what you're looking for. I just need to put your email address and this and then go to the website and get the snippet. So for some people, they get the snippet via the website. Other people get it, every other person gets it delivered to their email address. So it's either you go directly to your to the website to get it, but you know how it is. You can't get carried away and you didn't go to the website directly or you forgot. So it's still sent to your email address. So it's either you click, you get to the website, you put your email address, it's still delivered to your email. So that was how I did it. And that was how we were able to get more people in. So it's still the same thing. They were just still going to the website to get that code snippet. They can get it directly from there once they put in their email address and their name. Or once they get to their email too, they still have the website there telling them that, okay, click and go to the website to get the code snippet.
You know, if I was to make any input on this campaign personally, I think that the only thing I would change would be that I will send everybody to their emails to get the snippet. I always feel like you should see what an email from me or from the email list owner looks like.
Yeah, true. But at the same time, because the client's goal was for people to come to his website, so I didn't want to stop him from getting that goal as well. He was really looking for website traffic as well. So telling him that they need to put their email address first before getting to the website, he was trusting me that, okay, I'm trusting you because, you know, I believe you know what you're doing. But, you know, my real goal is for people to really get to the website. That was why I put it in the website. So that was how I did it that way. You can go directly to the website, or if you're somebody that got distracted, it's still waiting for you in the email. If you click it, you still go to the website. That was why I did it that way.
Nice. I love that you explained that more to provide more context around it. All right. This has been such an interesting experiment. And then I'm just wondering, post Black Friday, did you have to switch up your welcome sequence again?
So the welcome sequence was, he had a welcome sequence. So what I did was I just updated it. I updated the welcome sequence to contain his affiliate links and any other thing that and his services. I'd already done this before because it was like, these are the things I'm going to do for you once I start. So it was already updated.
Oh,
like,
okay.
We just kept sending our normal weekly campaigns. Okay. Then we also did something. We also created a lead magnet. We created a different type of lead magnet as well to get people in. We shared it directly in a different video. So that also brought in people. But that was it. You had like, I can't remember the stats for that because it was supposed to be a sponsorship kind of thing. He was partnering with an app. So we had to create like a landing page for it. And that's like another option that we created. But the result for that wasn't as spectacular. It was just there, bringing in people sparingly, but this one was the one that did the best. So.
And then you went all the way from 200 to 400 to 1,000.
Yeah,
how did that?
I think it's currently at a. We don't work anymore, but you know how clients are. They will not remove you from their. You still have access, and you're seeing everything. So I think it's at 3,000 people on his list now.
That's amazing, Groot. Well done, well done.
We had to stop working because he didn't have enough services to offer. There was a day that he said something and I was like, okay. He said, the work you're doing for me is costing so much more than I'm paying you for. And I was like, okay. And you know, after he said, yeah, the level of work you're doing, I'm supposed to be paying you like thousands of dollars. But I don't have that. So, but because like you're so skilled, this work, I was just looking at it like this one is just praising me. I'm making my head to swell up.
Well, you do deserve your flowers.
Yeah. But then that was when he now came back a couple of months later that he wants to take a break a little because he needs to really know what his offer is. Right. So if we could take a break because he doesn't want to, he wants the list to be able to pay itself. But now he doesn't have enough offers for the list to pay itself. Do you get it? And I understood that with him. As someone who has paid others to do something for me, I want what I'm paying for to be able to generate some form of income so I can pay you from that place, not from my own personal money. That was why we had to like stop working. But he's doing amazingly well.
Yeah.
I was just happy that for the period we worked together, he was able to get that much value. And he understood that, okay, my lease can actually pay me. I'm not just sending emails into thin air.
And that's a powerful mind shift there. So let's go into some quick rapid fire. What's your favorite subject line that you have ever written? That's if you remember it anyways.
I don't remember, Sapphire. I've written so many subject lines that do I have a favorite? I don't know.
Okay. So what's one email marketing myth you want to debunk? I'm sure you must have one.
Yes, I do have one. In fact, I have plenty.
Okay, give us two.
One email marketing myth is people think that once your email goes to promotion, you are dead. People will not read your email. And I'm like, why? They look at promotions and spam as the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Like,
it's not. It's not the same thing. Spam is spam. You don't even get to see emails there until you even go in search of it. But with promotions, if you're using a Gmail, Google will still show you those emails in promotions. Like, you are still seeing them. It's popping up and showing you that, oh, you have this email here. You have this email here.
You have this. Not recommendations. Like, it gives you this snippet at the top. Like, oh, you have this email from this, and this.
Exactly. You don't get that with spam. So, I just help people understand that if your email is hitting the inbox, oh, beautiful. Especially now with the new email restrictions and everything, almost all marketing emails are going to promotions now. Almost all. A lot of people that I follow that I'm on their email list, some of them, their emails, if you're not like an e-com person, oh, sorry, you're going to promotions. Yeah, that's where you're going to. And that is not even me doing anything. Like, Google just takes you there, takes you to promotion. So if you're amongst those people that you're very, very lucky, and I know that there are lots of strategies now that people come up with to take you to the inbox and all that. In fact, I do one of them, which is one thing I always try with my clients, especially when we start working together and ABC Fresh accounts, or even if it's not a fresh account, the first email like you are getting, if you are a new person, is you have to respond to that email. I learned that strategy from somebody. One OG email marketer, I really can't remember his name. I think I was on a live and he was talking. And I was like, and I practiced that and it has been great. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Like you, we all say, we're just experimenting. Now on is, you send the email. The first email, you're just asking for a response. Whatever the response can be, but the person should respond. So when they respond, the likelihood of subsequent emails falling into the inbox is always like higher. That's one that I experiment with. Sometimes emails come to the inbox, sometimes it doesn't. I've also experimented with the one where you would add the person to your contact list so that the emails would appear in your inbox. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know if it's me, but then it doesn't work all the time. So my myth is, please don't think that because your emails are going to promotions, that means your subject line is bad or there's anything fishy in your email or something. It's not. Promotions tab is not a tab you should be scared of. There's a reason why it's promotions. You're promoting something. It's a marketing email.
I mean, I know we all covet the most coveted primary tab. And, yeah. You know, we do everything to get in there, which is really good. I mean, it's top tier visibility, if we're being honest. And the fact that you're on that first page is just like being on the first page of Google. So it's not like you're not on that Google. It's like the first page. So being on that first page is top tier visibility. It definitely affects, you know, like your metrics. But then again, you can still work it even when you're getting into the promotions tab. And the promotions tab is actually part of the inbox. In short, Google now has the primary, the promotions, the social, and the updates. There are literally some marketing emails that are sent to like updates.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, why is this here? Right? Like, I go through my update folder and I see an email from David Deutsch and it's like my love hate relationship with AI. Or, you know, and some other like high level people and stuff. And
like, this is that OGs in the games.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for debunking that. So what's the second one?
I think this one is for my Nigerian audiences, my Nigerian clients, Nigerians that are listening to this.
Okay.
This one is please.
Okay.
That's email marketing. Don't think that people are not going to read your emails.
Oh yeah, like, people said it where Nigerians don't read emails, and I'm like, oh,
exactly. Like why?
Nigerians are on the list of all the big foreign people reading their emails and downloading their freebies. So why do you think that?
Why do you think they will not read your email? Exactly. Especially business owners, like business owners in Nigeria that are doing businesses. I see a lot of them right now. They're on Instagram. They're creating websites. But they are ignoring their email list. Like, why? And like, it amazes me. Sometimes I just go and I'm like, okay, you've opened the website. You're doing website sale. Do you know you can make so much more when you do this website sale and it's connected to your email marketing? But then you laugh to you. Say, people know they read email. People don't. I'm like, really? Have you tried? Because most of this stems out of, would I say ignorance? Because you've not even tried it. So how do you know it won't work?
Sure.
You have to try it first before you can work. Okay, like currently now, I'm refreshing a client's automation. That's like my other third miss. Yeah, I'll come back to that. Okay, maybe when I'm... I'll talk about it then. So basically, right, do not think that Nigerians do not read emails. And then because of that, you are working so hard to create a website. Your website can crash. I see so many people do sales and then your website crashes. But then even if a website crashes, when you have these emails automated, your sales still keep going on. I don't know. You can still sell. Even if they can't buy immediately, but then you still have these people there. You don't even need to always do like running ads. Just do sales via email. If you are able to convince people to go to your website, because Nigerians are like, website, I want to buy through WhatsApp, you know, all these kind of things. If you're not able to convince people to buy via your website, trust me, you can make them buy via email marketing. Like, carry them there, put them there. Even if you don't use it immediately, sending them emails about your product, even if it's once a week, do it. You'd be surprised at the amount of conversion you're going to get that you are never going to use ads for. And then I think the third one, which I was about to touch on, was thinking that your automations are a one-time thing. Set it up and leave it. Why? When things have changed, you have grown. Your business has grown. The year has grown. That's gone past. Now, I'm currently refreshing returning clients' automations. Now, going back to the automation, we first created in 2023. Then things changed for her. We now had to add some information in 2024. And now things have also changed. And now we're refreshing it again in 2025, right? Now, the reason why she came to refresh is because some people were complaining about a certain thing with the emails that they were receiving. And that was because that was her before in 2024. That's no longer her. The message she was selling then, it's not the message she's selling now because things have changed. So creating automation is like, okay, yeah, we encourage people to create automations because, you know, you just run, you leave it and they run on their own. But periodically go back and update them because you now see that there are things that you wrote there that are no longer in alignment with where your business is at currently. Except your business is still the same way, which I don't think your business will be the same way. If you're doing business, there has been some level of growth. There's a way you think now. There's a pattern with which you work now that's different from the way you were doing it last year. So update these things and let it reflect. Because new people coming in, they were doing something in 2024 and 2023, and you still have the same automations there. Imagine you even use the year. Let's say you use a year and you use a statistic for that year in that email automation that you automated in 2024. And now things have changed. New people are coming in 2025. They're seeing the old statistic. They're seeing the old year. What does that say about you as a business owner? You get. So it's not a one-time setup and leave. Please always refresh it periodically. Even if it's a period of 3 to 4 months, 6 months, update it?
Yeah, quarterly, half yearly, just making a note to audit your email marketing system and optimize it will go a long way. I particularly wanted to react to the one for, you know, Nigerians, because it's something that I always used to think about until I actually worked with somebody then who actually had a website with the products and everything on the website, but it was still not functional. So they would rather still receive the orders from WhatsApp, you know, directly. And then they would also not put in more effort to get the website to where it needed to be, which was why I was happy when you put the first caveat as website. But over time, I've seen that there are ways around all these things. It depends on what it is you want to do, what it is you want to achieve, and another kind of offers you have. Because I remember when we had our cake business then, we didn't have a website. You know, others would like DM conversations across social media. But we actually started an email list, and part of it was, so one was a way to do like a VIP segment kind of thing. And then the second one was actually because we're going to introduce like some digital products, right? Or we started and then we introduced the digital product. So we were running business, but we had like these other things as well. Now, if the business actually now has a website, I think that with Nigerians, we think about the first step. Some of us don't think long term.
Exactly.
We think long term. We don't look at all the possibilities because it's like people are used to this, right? What's the adoption for this other one? But I believe it's something you can introduce strategically. And I tell people that you can make email marketing work for you. So you introduce it strategically in a way that it will work for you. I was talking with someone on my team recently and we're looking at how to make it work for, you know, vendors with physical businesses at an event. And I mean, when we came up with the strategy, I'm like, there's no way this won't work. Do you understand? And it was just about looking at the situation, looking at the resistance and making it work. So I think that the thing is we need to start thinking retention as well.
Thank you. Yeah,
this person has come, this person has bought via WhatsApp or something. What are you going to do that will push the person
to come again?
You know, I'm going to join your list. Then I'm going to come back. How do you ensure that it's not a one-time thing? The person remains in your circle. The person stays updated with what it is you're doing. I mean, imagine someone that's selling, let's say, like gadgets, right? Content creation tools. And I buy one tripod from you. But down the line, I might need a podcast mic. But I've even forgotten that I bought from you. And different people are recommending other business owners all day, every day. And I see another one on socials. But if, you know, there was a link for me to still be connected to you and for me to see updates from you, then by the time you do like latest releases for June, for example, and I see that, oh, the podcast mic is dead. This is dead. I'm like, oh, I've bought from this person before and it was good. So I can actually still get it from this person. Do you understand? So that kind of thinking that I feel like some people, you know, are not looking at. Then the last thing I think I'll say is that some people are just afraid. Nobody wants to spend money on something that they are not sure.
That's true.
So I think that it's like another angle. And maybe they've seen their colleagues do it. And so it's like, why would I spend money on this?
That's true.
Other people are not doing it.
Based on this thing that I'm saying, other people are not doing it. I just see that, like I said, you see, I see a lot of new businesses opening websites. And this is because one person, maybe like a bigger coach, has opened a website and done a website sale. So like, this person needs it. I want to drive my own. I want to get my own website. And then, you know, it's not like a bandwagon. It's not. It's a normal thing. It's a very good thing to do. But because they waited for somebody else to do it before they would do it, now they'll still wait for somebody else to talk about how they've been selling through email lists before they would do it. Meanwhile, you don't have to. But I guess it's sure. People are scared. They don't want to invest into what they are not sure about.
Sure. Now, before we wrap up this session, I have to ask you one final question. If you could only track one email marketing metric, what would it be and why?
Click-through rate.
Okay. Why?
I think that's the most important, because I want to see people that have clicked to get what I'm offering them. You can... open rate is overrated. It's not as important as it's seen, as it looks. So that's my click-through rate is the one I'm always focused on. How many people clicked on this email? Because I can open an email and not read it.
Sure, sure.
Some people do select or mark as read. You know you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I do it sometimes, so.
Uh-huh. So, you didn't read it. So, how did you see the link? Nothing, nothing. So, I don't really track my open rates like that. But my click-through rates is one metric that if I'm going to pick on, that will be it. It tells me people that are clicking, people that are serious, and they're actually reading my emails, people that I should focus on, because they're the ones that will actually buy from me.
All right. This has been such a, you know, powerful and interesting conversation. And I would like our listeners to know where they can find you. Now, I know you're doing a lot of pivoting and some of this may change in the future. But the good thing about this podcast is the fact that we can always update like links to have the updated version if anything changes. But where can people find you today, or how can, you know, our listeners find you today?
You can find me on Instagram, The Copy Babe, and you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm also on TikTok, but my TikTok is like a playground right now.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
All right.
But then on my Instagram, and at my Instagram, the things are changing now, because I think when I first started my Instagram page, it was just to share tips and tricks about email marketing. But I've learned so much over the years that I want to actually share more than tips and tricks. I want to share strategies, things that I know that I've experimented with, you know, experienced. So those are like the new things that are coming to my pages very soon.
All right, so you can find her LinkedIn, Instagram, and all the links will be in the show notes, both the current and the updated versions, if at all we get to, you know, update all of that. This has been a very interesting conversation with a lot of take-homes, from meat busting to a powerful strategy. If there's one thing I will leave you with, is that you should go and audit your email marketing system and identify gaps, because you might just be sleeping on some money that you did not know about. Secondly, don't be afraid to try new things, right? Don't be afraid to try stuff. Till next time, this is Email Marketing Experiments, where we think it, we share it with every one of you. Don't forget to follow us and subscribe and tell somebody to tell somebody else that they need to listen to all the amazing strategies that we share in here. It's been a pleasure to have you here, Comfort. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great talk.
You're welcome.